Biz News Radio. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. It's Elliot Brown here in the Essex Business Radio studio for another compelling, exciting C19, How We Deal With It, where I'm talking to people absolutely everywhere about how they are dealing with COVID-19, corona, whatever you want to call it, how it's impacting their lives, how they are pivoting, and how they are making the most of this situation, being at home, to maybe adapt, adopt, and improve. And today, joining me from here, just down the road in Essex, is Nicole O'Callaghan from Hope Health, and a good friend of mine. I forgot to put that bit in there. Sorry, Nicole.
How are you doing? I'm good. I'm really well. I'm really, really well this week. I've had a terrible couple of weeks, but I'm actually doing well this week. It's a good week.
You have had a terrible couple of weeks. And do you know what? Let's just get straight in there. And we'll come to that. Why have you had a terrible couple of weeks before we come to what you do?
Yeah, well, I've got a young family. I've got three children, but one of my daughters, she was actually really poorly, and she was taken into hospital with a pneumonia in both of her lungs. So as you can imagine, at this particular time, that was quite a scary situation. She was tested for coronavirus, hooked up to antibiotics straight away to try and alleviate those symptoms that she had in case it was bacterial. As you can imagine, it was a really, really scary, scary time. Basically, my worst fear out of this whole coronavirus situation was playing out in front of my mind.
Yeah.
So, but she has gone on to recover really, really well. She doesn't have coronavirus.
Good.
She was just very unlucky to have contracted pneumonia right in the middle of this pandemic. So, I'm really grateful that she's really well and that part is over now. But it was a bit of a worrying time.
Definitely. And you've missed a bit out, and I do want to talk about it because it is quite interesting and people don't know, but you were in hospital and it was a bit strange in there. Can you just tell us a little bit about that, if you don't mind?
It was really strange. So for any parent out there who has ever taken their child to A&E, children's A&E, usually you're greeted with a room full of children, coughing, spluttering, whatever, and parents pacing up and down.
Yeah.
It was completely empty. There was not a soul in sight. Everybody was masked, all the doctors. Isabella was admitted into a ward, the children's ward. She had a whole ward to herself because obviously she was potentially somebody who had coronavirus.
Uh-huh.
The doors were closed on us on the ward. Doctors only came in at certain times of the day because they had to wear PPE kit head to toe, and then they had to then throw that away. So they limit the amount of times they come in to see you.
Of course, for limited waste.
They're in and out all the time.
Yeah.
So it was very, very strange. It was like something out of a movie, you know, like when you watch their movies about some sort of pandemic that's attacked the world.
Which is basically
what
we're living
happening
in right now.
Yeah, but you know what? The NHS, like, I mean, I've always got respect for them, but hats off to them. They're doing such an amazing job. And yeah, they treated Isabella so well, got her recovered really well. And they even called me today, actually, to check on her, which is astounding and wonderful.
Right. Great.
Wonderful.
I mean, you look at it from both sides. Yeah, of course, you know, thankfully she didn't contract, but also shows that the lengths they are going to in the hospital to make sure that your daughter didn't get it as well. I mean, it's not the fact of her going in with it. It's also the fact of potentially getting it while she's there. And she is high risk category, right?
She is high risk now that she's had pneumonia. So we're obviously on a bit, you know, we're on tender hooks with her, trying to keep her safe from it all. But they were great in protecting themselves, protecting Isabella, protecting other patients and everything. They just got it. They're doing such a great job. Absolutely.
They are. Well, good. I'm pleased that she's well and recovering for sure. I spoke to you while you were in the hospital and explained that to me, but I thought it's quite an interesting sort of thing to get across and to tell people, because not everybody experiences that, of course. So let me get this right, because we did this before we started recording. You are a mental health first aid trainer and workplace wellbeing consultant. Hey, I got it right.
Absolutely.
I've got it written down in a little sheet.
Good work.
No, and this is something that's is a spin-off of what you've been doing work-wise for many, many years. And I know it's a big, big passion of yours as well.
So
talk to me about how things have changed over the last year or two for you.
Well, basically, I stumbled. I actually purposely went into this particular career as a result of my own experience of poor mental health and actually a breakdown. I had a breakdown and a disabling period of poor mental health.
Yeah.
And then I spent the past 10 years recovering and training to become a mental health first aid trainer and workplace wellbeing consultant to help other people. Yeah. I really do think that workplaces have a huge responsibility to their employers and can really help employers with their wellbeing and mental health. So that's really why I am so passionate about this particular type of work and how I've come to actually create a company from it.
Definitely. I mean, if people don't know, I urge you to go and check out the fireside chat that we had when you came in and when we were allowed to be within a certain distance of people. And you came in and we did the person behind the business where we talked about that. So obviously massively prevalent right now. You've just done a seminar as well, your first one, right?
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, you froze. So you did a webinar, right? On around that. So, talk to me about how that sort of came about and how you've utilized this situation to sort of, you know, or people in this situation to help them right now.
Absolutely. So obviously when coronavirus hit and we all had to self-isolate and people were starting to work from home, my first instinct as a mental health first aider was to think about how this is going to affect people's mental well-being.
Yeah.
And so I was all ready to go out there and deliver mental health first aid training out there in the world or in the UK in people's offices. And so I had to adapt my content slightly. So I thought about what the real problem was going to be at this moment, and it is probably going to be how do we work from home? There's people that have been thrust into this situation of having to work from home. I mean, I'm a seasoned home worker.
Yeah, me too.
And even I had to make adjustments with how I was working from home because I was finding all of a sudden I'm working from home with a husband, with three children, with a dog and a cat. So it's kind of work. Even I had to change that situation. But I was hearing a lot from my clients that they were worried about their home workers and their mental well-being as well. So I created a healthy home working webinar, which I delivered the first one today to 50 delegates and from all different walks of life, all different companies.
Okay.
And it was really, really well received. So we basically went through a lot about how to set up your desk. And if anybody of you followed me, if anyone follows me on Instagram, you will see me last week. I was hiding from my children in the bathroom.
Yes, I saw the picture. Yeah.
And also
I actually work like that quite regularly, to be fair, but that's got nothing because I'm not hiding from anybody. That's just time management.
You just spend a lot of time on the toilet. Okay. So, that's where you get your potty mouth from.
Hey, I'm not swearing in these. I'm being a good boy.
Okay. Good. But yeah, also I showed my home office setup as well because, you know, people, when you work in an office, you have somebody, an occupational health person that comes around and checks your desk's okay for you and at the right level. So now you're obviously having to work from home and it's all completely different. So we look at the environment that you're working in, how to set that up. We look at the actual routine that you have. And we were discussing this just a moment ago about having a routine.
Yeah.
I'm somebody, I love a routine. Okay, I love my routine of getting up, dropping the kids to school, coming home, having my coffee, bookending my day by going, I'm having my coffee and now I'm starting to work. And then ending my day with, I'm going to pick the children up and that's the end of my day and having a workout of an evening. That's my routine.
Yeah.
I'm really comfortable with that. That's part of my self-care. Now that has all been thrown out the window completely. Everybody's ruining my routine. So I've had to kind of think about a new routine. And I found that a lot of people I've been speaking to, it's very chaotic. It's very messy for them. So giving people some ideas around a routine and what that looks like for them has been really helpful. And obviously I think this whole situation has forced people to look at their well-being, their mental and their physical well-being. The government obviously are allowing us out to have our walk every day. But I think there's people out there that probably didn't go for a walk every day that are going for a walk and thinking, this is actually really beneficial. I'm enjoying this time out in nature. So we kind of talk about all the different things to do with your physical and mental well-being as well. And also connection at this point in time when it is very hard to connect. I mean, I am somebody who's very sociable. I like meeting up with my friends. I like meeting up with my family, and we've had to change the way we connect. So just some ideas and tips and tools. So really I'm giving these webinars, I'm giving a blueprint for people to be able to come away and go, you know, write a plan for happiness. Yeah. Because you cannot just think that happiness is going to be, you know, it's going to land on our laps. We have to plan for it. And I think this situation has really honed that into us as well.
Yeah, for sure. So so what are you doing with, you're doing the webinar. Are you doing other bits? Are you doing posts on social, of course? What's the plan moving forward with what you're doing for your business now, bearing in mind that, you know, this isn't going to change anytime in the near future.
Soon.
And even when it does, as we discussed before we started recording, the new normal is going to be different from before. Obviously, you've considered that and you're looking at doing more stuff online. What are you doing? What are you planning for?
Yeah, I think absolutely. We do need to, as business people, outside of what anybody does as a business person, I think, you know, we can't change what has happened, but we can decide how we respond to it and how we plan for the future in all of our business. I think that's quite key. So for me personally, I don't think there's a huge amount of small to medium-sized businesses that have trained mental health first aiders in their companies. And I think that I've been carrying out a survey on this, but I think a lot of companies are worried about the well-being of their employees and how they support them through this situation. So
do you think they're thinking about it more because of this now, and it's being become more apparent?
Absolutely. I think it's really made them, it was always, you know, mental health of your employees. A lot of people are catching up on it and actually thinking, do you know what, if you have mentally well employees, they're more productive employees. There's a huge cost. I mean, we go into the statistics, we went into them last time we spoke, but there's a huge cost association to absenteeism and presenteeism as a result of poor mental health in the workplace. So I just think this situation has really highlighted it, because we're in a very stressful situation at the moment. We're still expecting people to work from home and work in some very stressful situations. But people also need to be able to speak to somebody who's trained to actually listen to them non-judgmentally and provide information and support. And I think workplaces, especially small and medium-sized businesses who probably didn't see this as a priority, may be looking at that now and worrying and thinking, I don't know what the right thing to say is. I don't know what the best advice is. What do we do?
Uh-huh.
But also for their employees, they've got a responsibility to their employees to actually make sure that they are mentally well. And at the end of the day, it's going to cost them in the future if their employee isn't able to work because of the stresses of this new situation. So I really urge small, medium-sized businesses to ensure that they have embedded in their company, even if it's just a policy, but just something to be able to support their employees' well-being, especially at this time, because it is so tough for everybody.
Yeah, definitely. And I completely agree with you. What sort of size companies are you saying when you say small to medium sized businesses, small business, sizes? What sort of number of employees? Because I mean, small business could be one or two people, where that maybe isn't quite as apparent, although I think we could probably look at that. So, but what are you sort of talking about?
So I think any company that's kind of more than probably five people.
Yeah.
And well, I just think any mental health awareness to even one person is enough. And there's varying courses that I do. So it doesn't have to be the 2-day mental health first aider course. It can be just mental health awareness, just having awareness of what mental health is, because everybody has mental health. It's whether it's good or bad, and what risks and what poses a threat to our mental health and what we can do to support it.
Uh-huh.
So there's lots of different courses depending on the size of your business. But definitely, most definitely, managers should have a mental first aid qualification.
Yeah.
And it's not about being a counselor or a therapist. Absolutely not. It is like being a physical first aider. That is exactly what it is. So for the amount of physical first aiders that you have, you should have a mental health first aider as well.
Would they be one of the same person?
They could be, absolutely. You don't have to have any prerequisite to be able to be a mental health first aider. An interest and a care is enough. But yeah, it's about you know spotting the signs and symptoms of your employees that are experiencing poor mental health. And at the moment, that is really, really tricky because obviously we can't see people in front of us. So I've put together a spotting the signs and symptoms from afar infographic, which I'm pushing out there for managers to be able to spot the signs and symptoms of poor mental health.
Okay. So, I mean, so if I'm working for a company and I wanted to maybe speak to somebody, would it be an HR person I'd maybe go to that would maybe sort that out? It would be an HR department or the person that deals with HR role?
In your company, if you have a HR manager or if you have an occupational health manager or even your line manager, if you feel that your company could benefit from a mental health first aider or if you're feeling particularly vulnerable, then I would urge you to speak to your line manager, speak to the HR, and if they don't have a trained mental health first aider or a mental health first aid policy in place, then I would urge them to kind of reach out to people like myself and other companies. There's lots of trainers out there like myself. I'm trained by Mental Health First Aid England, which is the only training course which is accredited by Public Health England.
And you were really keen to get on that, weren't you, when we were talking about this previously, and that was the one thing you were focused on doing at the beginning of the year. And I think absolutely right as well. It's a full on robust training that gives you all of the things you need to have to help people out, for sure.
Exactly. It teaches you, it gives you the confidence and the knowledge to be able to deal with poor mental health situations in the workplace and how to spot the signs, because early intervention in these situations is so key. If we're talking about suicide rates and things like that, early intervention is really, really key. And the only way that we can intervene early is by spotting the signs and symptoms, by being confident enough to approach somebody and how to have that conversation with somebody in the workplace who is experiencing that problem and be able to help them. So definitely, a lot of people are not equipped with that. They kind of think, I don't know what the right thing to say is. Yeah. You know, this is what this training does. It helps you identify the signs and symptoms and be able to confidently have that conversation and how to listen non-judgmentally. I mean, I used to be somebody that would always want to try and give advice, but just listening non-judgmentally, just having a really good listening skill is what that course teaches you.
Excellent. And I think there's going to be a lot of people at home that are going to be affected, you know, and actually probably will find it more difficult to reach out to somebody. So this is probably a good time to think about this. And if this resonates with people, then absolutely, get in touch with us and I'll put them in touch with you for sure.
Absolutely. I just think that, do you know what? You're not alone in the way that you feel. Everybody feels a bit wobbly in this situation. So my message out to everybody really is, you know, if you do feel wobbly, it's okay. We all feel wobbly. And, lots of people experiencing anxiety and things like that, or strange feelings or strange behaviors. Vivid dreams was one that come up. And it's okay. It's very common and it's fixable.
Yeah. I think there's a lot to be taken from that, Nicole. Thank you very much for your time. So where can people find you, Nicole? I know you've got a new website coming as well, but where can people find you for now?
So for now, you can find me on Instagram. So at Hope Health UK is my Instagram page. I've also set up a Facebook private group, Home Working Warriors. Yep. So it's a really pragmatic group full of people that have been thrust into working from home, but also a mix of seasoned home workers that are, you know, we've created a community whereby people can give their top tips and things for working from home and support one another whilst we're in this home working situation. So if you go to, my Hope Health UK on the Facebook group, there's also a Home Working Warriors group that you can attend to as well. I'll send you all the links. So if you've got any,
I'll make sure they put them around the post for sure when we want.
Yeah, absolutely. And if there are any companies out there that need some support in this interim until we can get back open and training people to be mental health first aiders, I'm more than willing to support companies who are worried about their employees' mental health and well-being. If they want me to provide a free webinar to their staff on how to carry out healthy home working, I'm more than happy to do that at this stage. I'm at home, I'm stuck indoors. If I can give something back for free to help people out there, that's my gift out
amazing.
There for people.
Amazing. And I shall make sure that we push that out there and let people know. Thank you very much for your time. I could speak to you for ages, as you know.
And, I love to chat.
there's loads we could talk about, and in fact, we'll probably do another one at some stage over the next few weeks. No, I really appreciate that, and I shall make sure that there are links around it. Big love to you and your family. Keep well and keep safe. Big love to your daughter and everything as well. Keep doing what you're doing. You're doing an incredible job.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Elliot.
All right, no problem at all. So it's Nicole O'Callaghan, Hope Health. As I said, there'll be links around this. As you said there, she's willing to help anybody that needs it. So, can reach out to her. If you don't want to go through that and you do want to come to us, then please contact us directly. You can do that at info@essexbusinessradio.com. And also, you can go and check out other podcasts and on our website, www.essexbusinessradio.com, where you can also download our free app for all of the old and new podcasts. Thanks again, Nicole. I shall catch up with you very, very soon.
Take care. Stay safe, everybody.
Thanks very much. And I'm just going to sign off for now. So it's ciao for now. Brown cow. Yeah.
6 Business Radio with your host, Elliot Brown.